probably about 6 or 8 months ago, there was a video that was kind of floating around the interwebs. This video is a compilation of individuals who were colorblind, and they were putting on these glasses, new technology that corrects colorblindness. And so it was a compilation of these people putting on these glasses and seeing color for the first time. And it's amazing how much they would freak out over purple. You know, they put these glasses on, they look around like, this is red, this is pink, this is purple. And you know, they go out into the yard and look around at the grass and the flowers, and they'd say, this grass is, look, this is green. This is green. And there's excitement, and like some of them would break down and start crying, just because they'd never seen color like that before, the vividness of color. And I couldn't help but watching this video, I couldn't help but kind of envy them. That kind of awe, that kind of delight over purple. I mean, I can honestly say I've never been that excited about purple in my whole life at any point in time. And here they are just freaking out, just completely in shock of purple, of green. And there's other videos like that too. There's some of folks who are deaf and have cochlear implants put in, and they hear the voice of their husband or their wife for the first time. They hear the voice of their parents for the first time. And they just break down and start weeping. There's something about that. There's something about a person who lives in a world that's gray, that's deaf, that's no sound, no music. And you can sit here and you can try to describe it to them. You know, purple's, well, that's that blend of blue and red, and it comes together, but like, you're not going to get very far at all. Until you see it from the inside, it's hard to kind of grasp. Well, the thing is faith very much works the same way. Very much for many of us, we go through life with this idea, this conception of what faith is, of what religion is supposed to be, of how life is supposed to be lived, and it's very much a very dull, very gray, very plain world. But on a night like tonight, on Christmas night, the church asks us to pause. Church says there's something different, there's something more. We have a Savior who's taken on flesh and is born in this manger. In the first reading, when we hear, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of gloom, upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. There's something different about this night. There's something different about the person who lives with the light of Christ. But if you're so used to gray, if you're so used to dullness, you don't even know what that looks like. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to extend to you an invitation. Come with me to Bethlehem tonight. Come with me to this stable. Come with me to this manger. And put on some glasses that can open your eyes. When you peer into a manger, what will you see? Perhaps you'll find yourself face to face with God made flesh, gazing into the eyes of Him whose gaze pierces time and space and eternity. That's a whole new way of looking at the world. If the story of Christ, if the story of faith, if religion itself, if it's just some kind of nice, cute story that you tell kids, and then once they get old enough to get to college and they become enlightened and it's not good enough for them anymore, if it's just something that you put kids to bed with, what's the point? But if it's something real, what if God actually did take on flesh? What if the Creator of the sun and the moon and the stars a vast expanse more than we could possibly hope to or dare to imagine. What if he, the God, the creator of all that, who moves throughout all the cosmos, cared enough about us to take on the limits of an infant that can't even hold up its own head? What if that was true? What if it was not just a story? Would that change anything? Yes, it changes everything. God has taken on flesh. It's not just a story. And we don't have to live a life of just getting by. We don't have to live a life where everything is just gray and bland. There's no life, there's no music. He's come to shine on those who dwell in darkness. That's you and I. That's who they're talking about. That's you and I. A world of darkness has a light shone on it. And, you know, in the story of the gospel, this one of the most perhaps sentimental of all the gospel passages, the story of the nativity, we have the Luke kind of sets the stage for us with the various characters. And then there's these shepherds. It's kind of a footnote. Like, if you think about it, why even bother mentioning shepherds? Like, who are shepherds, you know? But they're there for a reason. Because the shepherds are you and I. The shepherds are the ones who are there out in the middle of the night, in the dark and the cold. And they received an invitation to come have a look. To come see. There's something different here. And the only reason they were able to respond to that invitation of the angel is because, as Luke tells us, they were keeping watch. They were alert. They were looking. Brothers and sisters, let's not be asleep. Let's have that kind of curiosity, that holy curiosity, to go take a peek. Maybe you'll actually see God face to face. Maybe this whole religion stuff actually means something. Not just pie in the sky for when you die, but right now, today, joy, peace, freedom, light and color. Brothers and sisters, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's give faith a new chance, a fresh start. Let's act like it actually matters. Let's pretend that it actually happened. And then how will that change the way we live our lives? Because if it's true, then everything is different. Let's go to Bethlehem.